8:30 on a Sunday morning. Great, isn't it? And we have interesting weather for August, but we know what summers are like, don't we? And we're here to praise and to thank God for all that he's done for us. We're having communion later on, and it's a great joy to see you all here. I think Marshall has a couple of words for us. Thanks, Marshall.
Morning on Saturday, which is for Vine Counselling. All welcome. 9:30, is it 10 to 11:30? Because people want to go to see Hannah's wedding afterwards, so it will finish definitely at 11:30, so it'll be late. And the other thing is, if you want to, we are meeting at the Plough on Thursdays, 7 o'clock. If you want to come for a drink and a chat, then we're at the Plough at 7 o'clock on Thursdays. But just one thing, I thought we ought to thank Sam for doing the news sheet. She doesn't always get thanks for doing it, but if you do have anything, Sam's the person to put on it. But we do thank her for her efforts, because it is something you've got to do every week, and it is time-consuming. And some of the notices come in late, when I send her details late. But so I thought we ought to thank her for actually doing it. So thanks, Sam, for doing it.
Thank you, Marshall. And there are a couple of spaces left on the Bible study, the overview of the Bible study, at my house in September, so just tell me if you want to come, that'd be great. It's a Bible verse to open the service. Deuteronomy. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse, and I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to recognize what is good and whole in our lives today. Help us to see where you are in what we do and where we go. With so much to distract, upset, and depress us, you're the one true guide to life and how to live it. Let us be prayerful. Let us be perceptive. Let us be compassionate. Let us be joyful. Let us be alive. Bless this day, I pray, Lord. Bless this service moved by your Holy Spirit. You know people have given up time to be here, and that is precious to you. Pray that we might have listening ears and open hearts as we spend time together. Amen. We're going to open with our first song, which is a beautiful song. Be still for the presence of the Lord. Just a reminder that we are here and we are together, which is wonderful, but we're also in God's presence. So it's kind of hallowed ground, very special place to be. Let's stand and sing.
Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here.
To live in.
Seated. Thank you very much. Who here loves Dartmoor then? Either to walk on, drive round, there's two roads on Dartmoor. Anybody? Yeah, a few people. It's a bit like Marmite type thing, isn't it? You either hate Dartmoor or you love it. But there's kind of secrets to walking on Dartmoor, and here's a couple. So one thing Dartmoor is known for is rain. So when you go to Dartmoor, you need a nice weatherproof map that is nice and plastic covered, and you can follow the map, and it will guide you safely as long as you know what you're doing. Then there's a map. So you must take a map to Dartmoor, otherwise you're going to come a cropper. And what's the other thing you need? Excuse me. Build the suspense a bit. You need a compass, right? So you need a compass, and also you need to know how to use a compass. It's very handy. And in my case, you need a third thing as well. Anybody guess what that third thing is? Fiona. No, that's quite close. It's a human being, and it's a human being. We used to live in Cornwall for a few years, and we were maybe half an hour from Dartmoor. So there was somebody in the town where we lived who loved walking on Dartmoor, knew all about where to walk. And so we would go, he would trail along the front, and I would follow behind him. And I was very happy with that, because most of the time, I don't know if you know Dartmoor, but a lot of the time, there's no tracks. You're kind of following kind of what somebody thinks is a track. So it's good fun. He always got me back safely, so I was really, really reassured about that. So one thing that teaches us is to know your limits. You need a map, you need a compass, and if you're not very good at compass finding and map finding, you need a human being that knows what they're doing, that you can trust. And it's the same with God. So how do we find out what God says to us? Say it again. Read it, yep. So you read the Bible. This is a children's Bible. But you read the Bible day by day, and it says in there, in Proverbs, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. And that seems to be it. Sometimes we're in a really difficult situation. Sometimes it's really dark. Normally speaking, we would switch on a torch, wouldn't we, and use that to light. Coming back to Rington kind of reminded me that this place gets really dark, doesn't it? It's like really dark. Where we were before, there was always a street light, so you never really experienced darkness, but Rington, it's really dark. So a torch does really well in whatever circumstances. And so we have a candle here today. And that should light. It's a brand new candle, especially for you. Hooray. So that's a reminder so that when we go through life, there's times when there seems to be darkness all around us and we don't really quite know what to do next and where to make the right move. We haven't got a literal map of our lives, but with God and reading the Bible, studying the Bible day by day, he guides us in the right way and he shows us what is the best way. So he reveals the path ahead to us bit by bit. I don't know about you, but sometimes it seemed to me like I've been going through a dark tunnel and not seeing the end, the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's then you've got to really trust God that he's going to be there for you. He's going to be a good God and get you through, and there'll be light at the end of the tunnel. So just remember that today, that we have a good God that loves us. He speaks to us through his word and sometimes through other wise people. So just like my friend used to guide me along the paths of Dartmoor. So it's sometimes really good to talk to other people who can say, well, this is a good way to go, or maybe this, you know, and pray about it with you. So remember Dartmoor. If you go on Dartmoor, enjoy yourself, but make sure you take these with you and you'll be okay. We're going to have, Fee is now going to read to us from Matthew 7, actually.
Matthew chapter 7, starting from verse 21. Not all of those who say that I am the Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On the last day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, we spoke for you, and through you we forced out demons and did many miracles. Then I will tell them clearly, get away from me, you who do evil. I never knew you. Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. It rained hard, the floods came and the winds blew and it hit the house. But it didn't fall because it was built on rock. Everyone who hears my word and does not obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It rained hard, the floods came and the winds blew and hit the house, and it fell with a big crash. When Jesus finished saying these things, the people were amazed at his teaching, because he didn't teach like their teachers of the law. He taught like a person who had authority.
Thank you very much, Fee. So it's now time for the sermon. If you want to do colouring or play at the back, then feel free. There's Anna and Lizzie there. So, but do what you like. It's August. It's free. So the house upon the rock is like a really common parable that Jesus gave. You know, it's really well known. And it's just that sense. I think the challenge for us is we rely on certain things in our life, don't we? You know, we say, oh, we're married, maybe, or we have a career, or maybe we have a family around us that support us, and maybe we have good health. And we can say, well, this gives us stability in our life. You know that in these days of so many issues with mental health, you know, just the fact that you're mentally well is a huge kind of blessing. So for many of us, we have those kind of legs on the ground that we can go, okay, I'm stable. But what if one of those disappears? What if we go through a period of ill health, or maybe we have family breakup or whatever? Then three legs, we all know stools with three legs and they work fine. But when you get it down to two, that becomes really hard to cope with. So it's just that realization, what do we trust in our lives? Where is our foundation? So this appears to be one of the most straightforward, simple, humorous of the parables of Jesus. And anyone listening to Jesus' story, doesn't matter where you are, it could be in India, it could be in Asia, could be China, Africa, wherever, you would understand it, wouldn't you? Because there's this foolish builder that's deciding, I'm in a rush, I need to build a house, I'll just plonk it on this bit of sand. And then the wise builder who spends a lot of time and energy and he builds a house that's going to be secure, whatever. That appeals to everyone. You hear stories, don't you, of maybe earthquakes or something that causes destruction of houses that should have survived the earthquake or the storm, but yet they're built to a substandard, and so they have issues, and often it's the poor people that are most affected by those floods and wind. So the story is generally known as the parable of the house upon the rock, and fortunately I have no DIY skills. I'll tell you that now, But so fortunately for me is that this isn't about how to build a house, really. It's about how we build our lives. Jesus says, look at the way that you live your life. So the man who built his house on the sand may have been really lucky for some years. He may have sat in that house and watched the poor man building his house on the rock with really superior techniques and gone, well, it's fine here. I'm living a good life here. I can enjoy, I can relax. But then suddenly the storm comes along, maybe the unexpected storm, the once in a 100-year storm, and his house falls flat. And maybe that endangers his life or affects him in some big way, but he's now homeless. So all his security around having a house is gone. Sometimes we think, I think more and more, perhaps in the West, in certain parts of the West, we feel that we should be living a perfect life. You know, everything's happy, wonderful, it's all good. We watch the adverts on telly or on social media and think, yeah, you know, everything's great. We can make a family like this, or we can have relationships like this, and it can all be good. And I've known people, having been in Rington for some 20 years, I've known people that have got married, they've moved, they've had successful businesses, they moved to bigger and bigger houses, and then maybe the pressure of life or whatever, the relationship has broken down. And then the person, they go back to two smaller houses. And that is really deeply affecting if you're depending on that for your security. So it really challenges you about where your security is. And I think for some of us who've had really good childhoods, maybe we've had great Christian parents, and we've grown up securely and we've had fairly uneventful childhoods, that can be really great, can't it? And it gives us a really secure way of living. We know what it is from our parents how to be married, and we know how to live. But for many people, their lives start off as hell, and they continue as hell from when they're born. They're really hard. Not everyone gets through childhood in the easy way that perhaps, well, that I did. So when I'm preparing a sermon, I listen to what the text says to me, first of all. Because if it doesn't say anything to me, then it's kind of, I'll go and talk about something else, because it's got to be a challenge to me. If you observe that my life had no effect, so I came here and I preached on a Sunday and took a service, and I was all smiley, but the rest of my life I was really bad-tempered, and you saw me walking down the road in right state, or beeping the horn at people in a really irate way, then you'd be thinking, well, how does that fit with the person on a Sunday who's all smiley and everything looks cool? So the truth has to be allowed to go deeper. We can't behave in a way that shows that we're not affected by what's said at all. Remember Rob Bell, who's one of my kind of Christian heroes, or somebody I respect deeply. He had a huge church, 15,000 people that he founded, and he had to leave the church early one day, and he had a huge car park outside, and people were having a go at each other. They were swearing at each other, trying to get out of the car park at the end of the service. And he said, that's no good, because these people, they've all listened, they've sung the songs, they've maybe applauded me or whatever and think I'm a great guy. But actually, what I say has no effect on them at all. They just carry on behaving in the same way. And so he walked away from that church and then sought to build another one. I think there are times in our life when God gives us warnings, or there are warnings about what might happen if we don't listen. So, for instance, I took the car for a service a few weeks ago, and the mechanic said, great, and he gave me a bill, and he said, oh, by the way, he said, your brake pads are beginning to go, you need to get them changed in 6 months' time, they need to be changed. And so I said, thank you very much. Now, if I just walked away from that and thought, yeah, it's all fine, and then in a year's time, the brake pads failed, I'd be thinking, well, that is stupid, because I've not listened to that person. I've listened to them, but I haven't taken it on board. And that seems to have happened a few times in my life. I remember when I was working, I think I was in my 20s then, and I was working and I had lunchtime, went to the park. It was one of those beautiful summer days, you know, where it's not too hot, not too cold. It's a nice breeze. And just sat in the park, had my sandwiches, read a book, and just thought really at peace with the world. And then going back to work, there was all sorts of issues that suddenly blown up. And my life was quite traumatic for quite a while. And looking back, I kind of feel that God had given me that moment in order to prepare me for what lay ahead. So sometimes it's only in retrospect that we understand what God's doing, but I hope that as we continue our lives, we'll see what God is saying to us more in front of what's going to happen rather than in looking back. Much larger issue, maybe somebody who has cancer, they're told you have to go through chemo and there has to be a daily visit to hospital and times of chemo. And then there's that kind of feeling at the end of it that you should be fine. So you're prepared to go through the pain in order to listen to medical specialists. But what happens when you're told that the cancer is terminal? What happens when the marriage ends in divorce? Maybe there are issues with childlessness. Where do we get our strength from then? Where do we get our strength from? So yesterday I went to, I don't know if some of you know Phil and Bernice, they go to Winscombe Lynch, and they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Both of you have got to live into your 80s to start with, and then you've still got to stay married. And it was a lovely time. There were 61 people there, and that was really good. And we sat on the table. I sat next to somebody I didn't know at all, and she was telling me about a situation in her life where she was engaged with somebody, they were about to be married in 6 weeks' time, and then all of a sudden, one morning, he just died of a heart attack. And so she was left absolutely bereft by that. But she said it was a really hard time, but if she hadn't had her faith, then she doesn't know how she'd have got through. So that's not to say that, it's to say that the bedrock underneath it all is to be our trust in Jesus Christ and the fact that he works in our hearts for good. So all these things, the issues that we might face in our life, can be surmounted if we're not dependent on our well-being for what happens outside. So I used to go and watch Bristol City regularly, and one of the things that kind of put me off a bit was the absolute obsession of people around me that Bristol City had to win everything and they were the best team in the world. And I kind of learned that that wasn't just them being funny, that was their absolute sincere commitment. And I thought, well, how does that work when you don't do very well one season and when you start losing matches? How does it work? So it's what you put your trust in. You can put your trust in things that will prove wanting, or you can trust in something that is solid. And I think we would all agree that a relationship with Jesus is not an easily won thing. It's a lifetime building a relationship with Jesus. Very slow build. We're told, first of all, to make him the cornerstone. So that is the very bedrock of our house, is to be Jesus. The very first stone which is laid and the house is built around it. And you may have come to realise that God works generally very slowly, but he also works thoroughly. I always take quite good heart in that, because I hope, and I might be wrong in saying this, I hope that that means that I've got a long life, because God takes so incredibly slow time with me. And it seems to be very thorough. So God is very patient. And I learn the lessons and then I forget them. And then I have to relearn them all the time. So it must be endlessly frustrating for him. The hurricanes and floods will still affect us, but they will not destroy the house of ourself, because we'll be trusting in Jesus. In the book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to mine for wisdom like it's silver and gold. So that means dig deep. It's a real committed exercise. We can ask for wisdom. God promises to give us wisdom, but at the same time, we're to spend our lives focused on learning more about God and knowing God more. And so many people are broken these days, post-COVID especially. So many, it's not just people of a certain
age, it's all people, all through the years. I've known people in their 20s that are broken by life, living on the surface very successful, very sociable lives, but yet underneath broken by anxiety, broken by fear. Mental health issues, just like dry rot in your lives. I don't know if you've seen a home with dry rot, but it seems all right on the outside. Inside, it's being destroyed. So what do I do with those when I meet with those people? Well, firstly and mainly to ground themselves in Jesus. Listening to worship music, reading Bible passages, reading spiritual books, they urgently need to find their rock. And you know, there's things that happen in life that you can see coming from a mile off, and then there's things that happen that just sideswipe us, don't they? We're carrying along very happily, like my day and my lunchtime in the park, and then suddenly something comes and we don't know what's hit us. And I think the encouragement, the challenge for us is to keep in touch with the Holy Spirit. So I have a mechanic that's the expert, I hope, with my car. I have other people who are experts in other ways. I have a spiritual director that I go to, things like that. But the Holy Spirit is the expert in working in our lives. So as Fee read earlier, it's not just hearing Jesus' words. So you come here, hopefully quite often, and you hear the words from the Bible, often they're words from Jesus. And it's not like we can just sit here and not take them in at all and go away and, as I said, pretend that nothing has happened, nothing has affected us. Jesus says the difference between the person who builds his house on the rock and the person who builds his house on the sand is doing what Jesus says. As easy and as complicated as that. One of the things I love about the gospel is that the very youngest child can believe in it, and the most sophisticated philosopher can believe in it. Church that I was involved in, they had a professor of Old Testament Hebrews. Hebrew went along to that church. Always used to scare me witless, but he sat there quite happily, I think. So James, the Apostle James, wrote in his letter, "Don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says." And it seems sometimes, doesn't it, that everything in the world is set up to pull us away from God. To pull us away from God. Our feelings sometimes pull us towards doing the exact opposite of what the Bible says. But a wise man, a wise woman will follow the words of God despite these pressures. So Jesus is the final authority. Everything about the Bible is about Jesus. I know people say, well, I don't really worry too much about the Old Testament. It's all about the New Testament. Where did Jesus get his teaching from? The Old Testament. Where did the early church get their teaching from? The Old Testament. There wasn't a New Testament until AD 50 or so, the beginnings of that. So it's a reminder that we're to read the Bible and let it build our life. Learn from it. The Apostle Paul said, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I'm taking the address at Hannah and Dan's wedding next Saturday, and that's a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. But it's just a reminder that when we love someone else, that love originates from God. God is the originator of love. All love, in John's letter it says, all love comes from God. So I'd like to finish by reading the opening verses of the first psalm. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So life will come along and there'll be moments of times of great joy, times of great sadness. That's kind of inevitable, I think. But whatever happens, God will bring it to good. God will be there beside you. The Holy Spirit will walk with you through those times. So trust, dig deep when you have the opportunity. Dig deep, make your foundation strong. Amen. So we're going to have communion in a minute, but before that we're going to have a reflective song, so please stay in your seats. It's a beautiful song, and just a reminder of the call to make Jesus the very centre of our lives. Jesus, be the centre. Thanks, Steve. You can sing along, or you can just listen to the song, whatever you choose to do.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my life, Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my man, be my God, Jesus. Be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the
you. Maybe Marshall and Fred, if you can come up and assist, that would be great. Just a reminder that everyone is welcome to be part of this communion. I'm not the host, it's Jesus who is the host here. He calls all who would come to him to come and receive life-giving bread and soul-quenching drink. So come and be blessed. But firstly, we need to admit who we are. So the Bible says, Romans 3, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, male and female, whatever division you think that there is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as the sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Hebrews 10 encourages us, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So that means that we cannot continue to cling on to guilt that Christ has washed away. We have been washed clean in the blood of Christ. But let's spend a moment just bringing ourselves to God. He knows that we fall short. He knows that we're human, but we need to confess our shortcomings to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you did in sending your Son. We thank you that you sent him not to condemn the world, but to give the world the opportunity to have a relationship with the living God. Thank you that your gospel is one of good news for every single person. Thank you, Lord, that we have been washed clean because we have faith in you. Thank you that we can come before you and say that I've done this or I haven't done that, and know that you forgive us when we ask for forgiveness. Thank you that your hands are always reaching out to us to embrace us, to build us, and not to squash us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming, for being fully obedient to your Father, for living a life 33 years on this earth, and then dying so that we could be set free, and that the whole of the universe, the whole of creation, could be redeemed. Just thank you, Lord, for that enormous act that we still celebrate, commemorate today, 2,000 years after it happened. Thank you, Lord. Bless us today, lift us and strengthen us, and continue to do your purifying work in us. Amen. So Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we're now going to receive bread and wine, the symbols of Christ's body and blood broken and shed for us. Freely you have received, freely give. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what a privilege to be able to come before your throne of grace and partake of the precious sacraments of bread and wine in remembrance of your atoning sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for dying for us on the cross and paying the enormous price for our sins, so that we may be forgiven of all our faults and receive your indwelling life. May we never forget the enormous price that was paid on our behalf. May we live for you from this day on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing now, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Just a reminder of how much God loves us. Let's stand and sing.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast.
give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Shoulders, ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is free.
Have a time of intercessions before our final hymn. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the church is your beloved bride, and we look to you to lead your people. We ask that your word would be clearly and faithfully proclaimed in this church, and that through it we would be challenged, encouraged, and changed. We pray that our leaders will be protected from temptation, complacency, and idolatry. Fill our prayers with confidence in your mighty power, and fill your people with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. Death holds no power over you. And you have gathered these people to form the church. Up and down this country, throughout the world, many different places throughout the world, people are worshipping you at this time. Your life and love are seen in the life and love of Christians within their churches and outside of them. May your church be like a city on a hill, shining your light into the darkness of the world. We know that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present or future, height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate your people from your love. And so, Lord, we thank you for answered prayer for members of our fellowship and their families this week. We thank you for the many ways that you've protected, cared for us, and guided and provided us. You say, I am Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. We do continue to pray for Jess Baker. Lord, we commit her into your care and her family. Thank you that she is now out of hospital. Lord, continue to bring healing and wholeness to her. We pray for Colin and Iris, leaders at Winscombe. We pray that you might be with them and in their utter need, Lord, that you may bless them, draw near to them, give them fresh hope, fresh energy, fresh life, and clear guidance. We bring Frieda and Martin to you. We just thank you for their presence here today, and we pray that you may be with Frieda and bless her and keep her. And we pray that you may soon provide Martin with a donor that will give him fresh life. Give him patience as he waits for this, Lord, we pray. We pray for Georgiana, and we commit her to you and her family as they continue to wait for an operation. Lord, I pray that the timing may be perfect for this. And we just commit them into your hands in faith that you know them, you love them, and you are working in their lives. We continue to pray for Wendy, Lord, and we pray that you may lift her up today, that she may be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and pray that you may be with her through the challenges and joys of life, and bless her and Derek. And we commit Hannah and Dan to you as they prepare for their wedding day next Saturday. So many people from this church involved, Alistair and Nicola, and Pete and Val, and Sharon. We just thank you for this family and pray that you may be present by your Holy Spirit at that wedding service. We just thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world, guiding our steps on your path. You are a good, good Father. Give us strength to live as ambassadors for you in the world. Be with us. Keep us pure. Help our faces to shine, and turn your face towards us and give us peace, we pray. Amen. And we're going to sing our final song of today's service, number 1000. I love the fact that there's 1000, and it's a great song. King of Kings, Majesty, a beautiful song of love and awe in God. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. say the blessing now, and reminder that afterwards we have tea and coffee, so please go into the hall and share that and carry on the conversation. May God keep you in all your days. May Christ shield you in all your ways. May the Spirit bring you healing and peace. May God, the Holy Trinity, drive all darkness from you and pour upon you blessing and light. Amen. That's kind of coordination. Years of experience.